Good morning. Welcome to the fourth season of We've Been Everywhere. Today, I would like to introduce a speaker who is returning to the We've Been Everywhere podium. Kath Pinavarya has been with WKU Library since October 2000, and since her last time speaking here, she has become the coordinator of our Visual Performing Arts Library. When away from the library, Kath sometimes travels to interesting and unusual places. Recently, her travels have included an important personal journey to Croatia. Please welcome Kath as she tells us of her trip to this gem of the Adriatic.
Hi. Well, thank you for coming. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you for coming to hear me talk about one of my new favorite places. Let's get started with probably the most important thing, and that is, can you roll your R's? Okay, let's practice. Because if you can't roll your R's, you can't say the name of the country I went to the way they say it. They don't call it Croatia. They call it Hrvatska.
Hrvatska.
And the R in Croatian, when it's between two consonants, makes an R sound, not just a R like we have, but it includes the vowel. So it looks like one of those bi-vowel situations, but it actually is a Hrvatska. And it kind of got to Croatia through a sort of pronunciation change from Hrvatska to Hrvatska, and then we say Croatia now. So we're pretty far from the original. So you don't go there saying, I love Croatia. This is the name of the country, the full name, Republika Hrvatska. And they do use the Roman alphabet. Unlike the Serbian people, who are almost identical ethnically, and the language is almost identical, but they use the Cyrillic alphabet. So, that is the view from the balcony. Is there any way we could dim the lights a bit?
Can.
Yeah, because I think you really, to get the full understanding of this view from the balcony, did the lights not go off?
It might be all the way off.
Oh.
I'll try another one.
Hold on, we'll give it a try. This is the view from the balcony. You know, I woke up the first morning and walked out on the balcony, and this is what I was looking at. Croatia is, I was along the southern coast, and this is a balcony overlooking, this is the Adriatic Sea, and that's another island in the background. Can y'all see the beautiful view?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Now, where I was looking out on the balcony is like right up in there. And the next day we went out on this boat, and I looked back at where I had been, and so the view kind of out onto the water, and this is the view back to where I used to be, where I was staying. So, yeah, it's very beautiful, and all along the coast it's extremely hilly and rocky. So you'll see these contours everywhere. Okay, a few facts about Hrvatska. It is in southern Europe, part of the Balkans area. This whole area is the Balkans, and it's kind of in the northern part of the Balkans, and that's that green highlighted country there. And the northern coast here used to be part of Italy. So there's actually a lot of Italian cultural and linguistic influences in that northern area. Okay, there's a close-up of Hrvatska, and you can see it's bordered by that Slovenia, Hungary, Serbia, Bosnia and Herzegovina, and a tiny little bit down here, Montenegro. Okay. I think Croatia is shaped like a boomerang. Other people think it's shaped like a pterodactyl. I can see both. It's in the eye of the beholder. Okay. The whole country consists of the pterodactyl plus about 1,000 islands. I don't think this is where they invented Thousand Islands dressing, but they do have about 1,000 islands, and oh my gosh, the names of them are so cool, they sound Klingon. I just spent hours looking at the map going, Rab, Jut, Ist, Kres, Hvar, Ij, Pag, Vir, Vis, Prach, and of course my favorite, Kirk. I love that one. We needed to go to Kirk with the Brach. So it's a great sounding island. Basically, anywhere you stand on the coast, you look out at the Adriatic, and the view is stunning. So, I mean, I still sometimes look out, you know, in my street, and I think, I was once standing where I could just see this. Well, it's just, and this is basically this part's along the northern coast, so that is just a fabulous view. A little bit more facts about Croatia. A little over 4 million people, and most of them are Croatian. Croatia does not have a large population of people who are from somewhere else who become permanent citizens of Croatia. It has a lot of tourists in the southern part. That southern coast is called the Dalmatian coast, and that has a lot of tourists from other parts of Europe, lots of Scandinavians, Germans, Russians. American tourists have not discovered this yet. Maybe my talk will change all that. I don't know. But the permanent residents are mostly Croatian-born. A little bit about the language. Croatian is it's a Slavic language, which is divided into three types. And this is Croatia here. And it's one of the South Slavic languages, as represented by the dark green, and that's all those other countries I mentioned. The light green up here is West Slavic, that's Poland, the Czech Republic, and Slovakia. And then the large medium green, that's East Slavic, that's Russia and Ukraine and Georgia, I think. Not Georgia. What is this one?
Belarus.
Oh, yeah, Belarus, sorry. Well, I didn't go there, so I don't. You can't be mad that I got it wrong. Oh, great. Hey, did you know these things? Awesome, huh? I don't know where I'd be without mechanical pencils. These two were actually invented by the same person, so they really. And that last one, is it kind of a necktie? That's actually the word for Croatian. They called the tie by the names of the soldiers who wore them. So we call it a kravat. You can hear the hrvatska in there. Obviously, they didn't invent neckties, but just this one peculiar type of red necktie the soldiers used to use. Another thing that Croatians, I'm not sure they invented it, but they certainly became associated with it, is a type of music called tamborica music. Are any of you familiar with tamborica music? It's totally played on stringed instruments, some of them, you know, as big as a car, and others tiny, and it's played really, really, really fast. So it's not super easy to listen to, but if you're curious about it, it's a kind of Croatian, I wouldn't say it's folk music because it's not accompanied by some complicated dance with leggings or anything. Three of these guys are actually my relatives who formed a tamborica orchestra in Chicago in the 30s. So that's some of them playing in the tamborica band. Okay, before I talk to you about where I did go in Croatia, I thought I'd just cover the places I didn't go because they exceed the number of places I did go. I mean, Croatia's not a huge country, but it's got, you know, a couple major cities, and I spent seven days there. And, you know, I would have had to spend at least another week there seeing the rest of the country, but I'll have to go back. I did not go to Dubrovnik, which is probably the most famous city in Croatia. It's in the very, very southern tip of the pterodactyl's wing. And it's a walled medieval city, and you can still walk the majority of the circuit of these walls. It's very popular with cruise ships. So if you ever go on a cruise of the Mediterranean, you'll probably stop in Dubrovnik. This is the capital of Croatia, Zagreb. If you think back to the boomerang, Zagreb is right where it bends. So it's not on the coast, it's inland. But it's a very big city, and you see the mountains in the background. Croatia is very, very mountainous in its western part, all along the coast and all the way through the middle part near Zagreb. It flattens out towards the east, but I didn't go there. So, all right. Why did I not make time to go to this place? I didn't even really know that much about it. I was just, you know, when I got back, I was looking up books about Croatia and all the places I did not go. This is the Plitvice Lakes. It's a series of terraced lakes and waterfalls. So, next time. And this is part of the Istrian Peninsula. This is where the Italian influence was, and this is very typical with the red terracotta roofs. It all looks like this. It looks really quaint, and I think a lot of these coastal places are very tourist they cater to tourists a lot, so they make them look pretty. Okay, very cool fact about Croatia, which you will want to memorize for trivia games. What country in Europe has an interrupted coastline? Did not know this, but look, if you were to drive down the coastal road, you have to stop and show your passport because you got to drive through 15 miles of Bosnia, and then you're back in Croatia, and Dubrovnik is down here. So if you're going to go to, I was staying like right here in Split, and if you're going to go to Dubrovnik from Split by driving, you have to show your passport. Now, if you were to go on a boat, you could take a boat all the way around because Croatia owns the islands, no passport. But if you're on land, you have to show your passport to a Bosnian border guard. So I didn't get to do that. I was really, really, really wanting to do that. I wanted to go to Dubrovnik anyway, but I was like, please, I want a Bosnian stamp on my passport. But no, we didn't do that. So, okay. When I told people I was going to go to Croatia, a lot of them were sort of like, why Croatia? You know, because I've never even been to Italy. And I've never been to sort of the more obvious places in Europe that you might think if you're going to go to Europe. So that kind of, I heard that a lot. Like, why'd you go there? Why are you going there? So I'd like to answer that question for you. When Ken asked me why, I just said it's personal. So, you know, really what I meant was I didn't go for any reasons outside of my own personal family interest. And I went because of these people. Aren't they cute? This is my mother's grandparents, my great-grandparents, Mila Dundovic and Manda Vukušić, both of them from a tiny place on the northern coast of Croatia. They came to the U.S. around 1910 and got married in Chicago and never left. They never went back to Chicago, to Croatia. They never even went anywhere out of Chicago. So that's them about, I don't know, maybe 40 years later. So I knew them. No, I didn't know her, but I knew him. She died before I was born, but he died when I was 19, so I knew him pretty well. And I knew them as Bubba and Dida. Of course, I thought that was their names. And it was only when I was, I was a teenager, my mother informed me that, no, that's the Croatian words for grandma and grandpa. So that's what everybody called them. So I know that they never got to go back to Croatia, and their children, their six children, one of whom was my grandmother, never went to Croatia. So I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to go. I'm going to go for them and for all the family members that couldn't make this trip or couldn't afford it or whatever. So that's why I went to Croatia, to sort of just be in the place where they had come from, because I had been doing my family history pretty extensively for about 4 or 5 years. So I knew all about where they come from. I had all the family history going back many generations. So I wasn't in any doubt about where they were from. I just had to get there. So now my first few days in Croatia, you know, you got the jet lag and, you know, looking out at that lagoon. So there we go. The first few days I spent on the island of Čovo, which is a biggish island off the southern coast. It's very touristy. In the middle they're building some more condominiums, and in the background you can see some more mountainy peaks. So that's on Čovo. And then, I didn't take this picture, I wasn't in a helicopter. This is Čovo, and then this tiny island between it and the mainland, this is Split, is called Trogir. And it's got a medieval fort, so that was kind of cool. They have, it's a little medieval streets in there. So that was very interesting. This is an actual street in Trogir. Yes, that car who is coming is about to hit me. I'm standing in the middle of the street and I'm taking this picture and it's coming toward me. Everybody drives like a maniac. I don't know what it is, but there's just this, you know, you take your life in your hands when you go into the streets. I don't think it's Croatians. I think really it was the tourists. I think it's the, they're just like, come on, we only got a week. So that's Trogir. This is that fort, that medieval fort in Trogir. And I love this because look at what language these signs are in. English is definitely the language of tourism, at least in this area. Boat line and beach. I think, you know, they want people to pay for these things, so they put it in the language that they think everyone's going to understand. I really, if they put it in Croatian, I don't think many people would be taking the boat lines and going to the beach, because they'd be like looking the thing up in their little book. So they just don't really use the native language that much. So that's also Trogir. This is Split. That was actually a very old city. It was founded by the Romans. It was originally called Spolitum. The name got contracted. And it's a harbor city, once again, Chios, hills and stuff. There's about 1 billion boats. You know, every rich European has a condo on the Dalmatian coast, so they all have their boats. This is a really cool thing in Split. It's Diocletian's palace. Some decadent Roman emperor built his summer home here. And now they offer, you know, tours, and it's got a dungeon and stuff. But look, once again, you see the language. This is in Croatia. I remember walking tours of Split, next tour today. You know, they know what language most of the people are going to be able to understand. Now, you can't really see it, but over here are some guys dressed up like Romans. You know, some, I'm sure that was, you know, just to kind of do the whole, you know, I don't know, were they even speaking in Latin? But I didn't quite get them into the picture. Okay, and you know, first few days must be rough, right? Hanging around, and you know, this is our little spot. You know, we're out there scuba diving or, you know, snorkeling and floating around on these things. The water is really, really, really clear, so you can just, you know, go on the top with your face mask and snorkel. So this is the life. But I came to Croatia to find a place where my great grandparents were from, so I had to go north to 2 towns, one called Cesarica and the other called Jablanac in Croatian. C is pronounced like a TS. Cesarica and Jablanac, about 20 miles apart. In Jablanac, I knew that Mile Dundović and Manda Vukušić had both been born and had come to the U.S. from there. From doing my extensive family history research using Croatian records, which I did have to teach myself a little bit of Croatian to understand, I knew that Mila's mother, Vranica Smojber, had actually been born in Cesarica, and that her mother, Marta Čačić, had also been born there and had moved the family to Jablanac. Marta's mother was Marija Milinović. These were the names that I knew going into this, and so I wanted to go to these places to see if I could find some sign of them. I didn't even know what I would find. Well, here we go. This is driving up the coastal road, and we passed the sign. I almost had a heart attack. I'm like, Cesarica! So we stopped, and I leaped out, and they took my picture. And once again, you see how hilly and rocky it is. This is right along the coast. You can see the ocean is just like right over there. If Croatia could export rocks, they would be the richest country in the world. Honestly, the place is full of rocks. Okay, and now I have to tell you something. I don't think a lot of you know this about me, but it is true. I do love cemeteries. Some of you know this. It is not weird. Don't be going there. Cemeteries are full of genealogical records. If you are a family history researcher, you love cemeteries because those tombstones, they kind of bring the past into the present in the way even bits of paper don't tend to do. So, I wanted to find the Cesarica cemetery, because if any sign was going to still be there of these Smojber, Čačić, and Milinović relatives, it was going to be there. So we found the cemetery, found a sign posted on the wall that said, "This I did not know how to say, I had to figure this out. This cemetery was founded in 1836, it was walled in 1913, and then it was renovated and reinforced in 1989. And these were the families that contributed to its renovation. Čačić, Milinović, and Smojber." I almost fainted. I was like, they're here. All these people who are still here are related to me. Of course, I didn't know how. But big problem, though, nobody there spoke English. And so I realized it was a big problem that I had not hired some person who could speak Croatian and English. So we spent a lot of time fruitlessly trying to get people to understand what we were asking. And one older man that we found just kind of hanging out at a picnic table near the street, I was trying to say that I was descended from someone who was born here, and that it was my great-great-grandmother. Her name was Vranica Smojber. And he goes, "Oh, Vranica Smojber," and then he says something, and my friend who I was with, knew a little bit of Croatian, and he is not a native Croatian, he's actually from Finland, and he said, he says that Vranica Smojber lives right there, and she is home. we're a couple generations too late. This one was like from the middle of the 1800s. But I really love this sign. It just was great. And so inside the cemetery, it seemed like every other person in Sesarica was a Čačić, a Smojber, or a Milinović. So I felt like I was just glorying in this actual signs of my ancestry, although I didn't know who these specific people were. So this is a picture of mostly the whole cemetery. See, it's walled. Very different approach to cemeteries. And I found that to be really fascinating, that they put these little borders, and you're not supposed to step in the middle part, which it's not possible with the taller ones. Okay, moving north 20 miles up the coastal road, we now get to the sign for Jablanac. And we had stopped somewhere and had lunch and stuff, and now here we are in the place where Baba and Dida came from. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what Jablanac was. I didn't think that they had been from the coast. I always knew that they were timber fellers and sheep herders. So I didn't understand how they could be from this place. And fortunately, this is actually a tiny little harbor town, and the hill goes up right as soon as you get off the water, and I'm actually just not very far above the town, but it's like about three stories up, looking kind of down on it. And there's the church right there. I found out from talking to someone who did speak English in this area that this Jablanac, when it was in the records, referred to a very much larger area, Jablanac Parish, which was the kind of Catholic Church administrative area, not the tiny town, although that church is where they were baptized. So we went and looked at that and looked at the baptismal font, and that was very cool. Now, where my great grandparents were from, were behind these hills, there's a big valley. And those mountains are actually very far away. It looks close. They look like they're like that, and they're not. So that's kind of looking up at the hill where they were from behind. So we had to drive up into the mountains to find where they were. So driving kind of up, that's the same place. This is where I was standing when I took the first picture, looking down. And this is used to be a hotel, but it was closed. So, and you can kind of see that coastal road, you know, I mean, it just winds around the base of the mountains, like, woo-ah. So, okay, once again, had to make a stop in the Jablanac Cemetery, found an actual sister of one of my Gundović ancestors, so looking at all these, I love the way they do that with the pictures, so there's another in Vukušić. And then I found this thing in the cemetery, I did not know what it was. If anyone could enlighten me what this is, it's like, would you bury like five children here, or what is this? Nobody knew. Could not get anybody. I was showing people this on my camera, and nobody could figure that one out. So, the great Croatian mystery. Okay, so we were driving up into the mountains, and we got to this place where there was a big one of those big laminated maps with "You are here." And imagine my surprise. I mean, the Cesarica cemetery sign was one thing, but look at these place names. Dundović Pod, Dundović Kosa. I was like, oh my God, these places are named after my actual ancestors. So it was even better than I thought. So I was really excited to find this is Dundović Pod. It just means like hillside, or the place where the Dundović family kind of traditionally did there. This is the valley. Remember I said it was behind the hills? This is the valley at the base of the big mountains. And nobody lives there anymore. The area really is marginal for supporting life, and it got very overpopulated, which is why everybody had to leave. But that's looking out at Rab Island, and so Jablanac is down behind these hills. And this is another place named after the Dundović family, Dundović Padež. And these are walls for like sheep herding. You know, like these are my sheep, these are yours. And they built these stone walls to both mark off not so much property, because they weren't landowners. But just sort of traditionally, this is my area. These are actually the foundations of the dwellings. And they never built permanent dwellings bigger. You know, the permanent part was the stone. Then they would use timber and thatch, right, and then had to be renewed every few years. So those are actually, that's like the doorway right there. That's very cool. I don't know, but nobody lives there anymore. It's not like I can't go to, you know, somebody's house and say, oh, my great-grandparents used to live here. These people were poor, no shoes poor, you know, living with sheep poor. You know, it's just, I don't think I could ever really, really even get my mind around that. This is another picture of some of the dwelling walls, obviously slightly more modern construction there, but I just really like that. And this is a very cool picture I found among my grandmother's picture collection. This is her cousin Dragica, and she's standing, it says on the back, cousin Dragica by the walls of the Dundovich house, foundations of the Dundovich house. So basically, she's standing next to one of those stone foundation things. So I don't know this lady. That was what the picture said, so I like that. Another thing in the mountains that I did not see, thankfully, is there are lots of landmines. The people in this area fought a very nasty sort of civil war when Yugoslavia, the so-called country called Yugoslavia, was breaking up into its kind of component parts. So the Bosnians and Serbs and Croatians and other people were fighting each other. And there are landmines in these mountains, not where we were. But I met someone there, an English guy, who had been part of a military group that was demining the place. But once again, I was very glad to see that they were using English, because really, if you saw this, would you be like, oh my gosh, we can't go there? You'd be like walking along looking it up in your book. And I think they did borrow that word, but I still might not have. But anyway, I think that just means don't go here. So I didn't go there. Okay, now, what you've been waiting for. Things I learned in Croatia. One and two are contained in this picture. One, see that ashtray? Very, very, very high rate of smokers in this country. Even the natives. Everybody, it seemed like every adult was smoking always, everywhere. There's no place where smoking's not allowed. Restaurants, cafes, beaches, it's constant, and it's actually something they've been trying to deal with, but they have not succeeded. Second thing, that is a large cup of coffee in Croatia. I learned this by saying I wanted a small. My friend said, you want a large. And I'm thinking Starbucks, you know, one of those things like that. And I only wanted something, you know, more modest. And she said, just trust me, you want a large. So then they bring me this. And it's two swallows. It's my hand. Look, you see how, I mean, it's not any bigger than your palm, this tiny little cup. So be warned, don't think Starbucks. Yeah, so I don't even know. The small would have been like as big as the spoon, maybe.
Was it strong?
Third thing I learned, this stuff is so awesome. This is a drink that is ubiquitous, especially in this area. I don't know if it's ubiquitous everywhere else in Europe. It's called Radler. And it's, don't judge till you've had it, but it's beer mixed with carbonized lemonade. So it's like lemony carbonated beer. They sell it at Liquor Barn. I believe I came right back from Croatia and I was like, we need to go. We need to find this stuff. It is so good. It's got a tiny, tiny alcohol percentage, but it's not much. So sometimes even kids drink it. So anyway, Karlovacko is just the brand. The stuff is called Radler. So you heard it here first. Okay. Fourth thing I learned the hard way. And I think I'm going to leave it at that. If any of you would like to hear the full story on that, I'll tell you later. Yikes. Fifth thing, in Croatia, the beaches are made of rocks. So wear your beach shoes. There's no sandy beaches. It's all rocks. You walk on this, sit on it, stand on it. I mean, and it's a little uncomfortable if you, like me, forgot to actually bring, you know, something to wear that day. So you have to just take it, you know, on its own terms. That is a beach where I would not really, when I think beach, I think sand, but it doesn't have sand. It has a rock, probably should say. Okay, other cool things about Croatia. Yay, they play bocce ball in Croatia. Some of you know I'm a huge fan of this game, which is, I don't know what they call it. I call it bocce ball because that's, you know, when I grew up calling it. But, you know, you take the little, they've got little balls and you throw it down an alley. Now, look at that guy. Is that not classic KP bocce ball? Some of you have played this game with me. The man has it right. Mm-hmm. And notice they're totally ignoring me. This is a man's game. In this place, this was on Chobo. And there were no women playing, and they were like very, very like, we don't see this female with the camera. It's really a guy's thing. Which kind of is how it was in my family when I was growing up, too. So I felt right at home. Croatians actually can be funny. This is one of those things where it's like a meteorological station, and it says in Croatian and English, if the rope is swinging, it's windy. If the rope is dry, it's sunny. If the rope is wet, it's raining. And then they really, I don't know exactly how they put it in Croatian, but they really mangle the translation of the last one, which says, if you can't see it, there's too much beer. Croatian humor. There are actual dolphins in the Adriatic. I did not know this, but you could go out on a boat and see a dolphin. I've never seen a dolphin outside of a zoo. So I was like, oh my God, there's a dolphin. You know, and they were sort of like, just chill. You know, really? So I just could not get over it. I really, and there was actually two of them. I took the picture of the one. So actual dolphins in the actual sea. Now, one of my favorite things about Croatia was not so much the thing itself, but what they called it. They had these regular boats that made these excursions around the islands. They were kind of these all-day things. We didn't actually end up doing this, but I could not get over laughing about what they called them. They called these fish picnics. See, I still can't say it. Fish picnics. So, you know, I go there and I see, you know, actually I saw this. This is my friend Topic. I saw this sign, this is a fish picnic, and immediately just dissolved into laughter. You know, they use English all the time. Marina, waterfalls, quick, see, scooter. But I'm like, fish picnic? And they're like, yes, so? I'm like, what the heck is that? They did not understand why I thought it was so funny. I'm like, okay, they said it's just basically an excursion. It's an all-day excursion where they feed you. So it's an excursion that includes lunch. And I'm like, do they serve fish? They were like, well, not necessarily. Why are you calling it a fish picnic then? So basically, this to me was an example of people using English in a way that to a native speaker was actually funny, but I don't think they perceived it that way. Because most of the tourists are not native English speakers anyway, so they're like, what's the problem? Croatia. Final cool thing, this is what I look like in the sun. Right, I look like Darth Vader. I'm not going to let the sun touch me. And my friend Raya was the same, so we were very, you know, kindred spirits here with our... Yeah, so that's the closest you're going to get to me in a bathing suit. who couldn't get used to this? So really my question for anyone who asked me Croatia why is Croatia, why not? Thank you. Okay, don't ask me about those naked tourists, but anything else, I'm ready. Rosemary?
On the Dalmatian coast, could you tell if that was the origin of the Dalmatian dog?
I knew you were going to ask that.
Why they called it a Dalmatian dog being spotted?
I don't know. I would assume that they would be related, but I don't remember necessarily reading anything about that. I don't even know why they call it the Dalmatian coast. It's an old name for that area. It's not an official name. It's like we would say the Midwest. It's not on the maps like that. It's just that southern part of the Dalmatian coast.
All right. Thank you.
Any naked tourist questions? Okay, I'll tell you. We went to our little beach area, which is basically rocks. Spread out our towels on rocks. And I was fussing around with, you know, getting my Darth Vader hat and sunglasses. And I kind of just turned back to look out at this beautiful sea. And right in front of me was a fairly large-breasted woman in full glory. having just taken off her bathing top. And I mean, I just was shocked, and I just turned away. You know, I was blushing. My friend Pariah said, "What's the matter?" she was about as far away from me as Brian is. "Do not say that. That woman is naked." And she was like, "Oh, she's Swedish." As if that answered. I was like, "God, I am in a different world."
So in China, you don't have to go to the beach. You just go to the car convention, car expos. They're almost new.
Well, really? I thought this might have been an isolated.
People will even hear that they're selling flesh instead of cars.
This was not an isolated incident. We went out on a little. Their friend Steve, the guy who was doing the land mining, he has a boat, and we went out on the boat. And we were just kind of just tooling around. And now I went. My friends were from Finland, and you know they all spoke English, even the kids. But at some point, one of the kids said something to her parents in Finnish, which of course I didn't understand. And they all went like that. And I went, you know, looked, and suddenly there was a naked man standing, you know, on another ship, just standing there like that. And I was like, "Oh my God, what did she say?" And she said, "Check out the naked German at 10 o'clock. Not even embarrassed the kids. Oh, it was a universe then. If I'd understood, check out the naked German at 10 o'clock, I probably would not have swung that way. Okay, that's enough about naked tourists.
What was the food like?
And the kind of Croatian, official Croatian dish was this really, really overcooked lamb and soggy potatoes and carrots, and it was horrible. So I really just had the kind of more the Mediterranean pizza type of thing. They had some really good pasta dishes. So more the Italian influence there was, but the Croatian national dish, which was like, they cook it for like 8 hours until it's just gloppy. I was like, yum. And the waiter was like, you like? I'm like, yeah.
What about the coffee? Even though it was small, was it like an espresso? Was it really strong?
And it's very strong. And I think that's, they didn't call it espresso, they called it coffee. So I think that the thing to remember is there's a different definition for what those things are, and so it's a kind of, you know, caveat emptor. But it was good, but you know, I just put 2 packets of sugar in it.
Have you encountered, there are a lot of Croatians living in Bollinger, I just wanted to be bumped into any of them.
I have. Most of the people that I have bumped into who are from the area are Bosnian or Serbian, but there are some Croatian people. And, you know, I mentioned I've been there, and they're usually surprised that I've been there or that I have any interest in their country. And it's a pleasant surprise for them. I don't know that I've ever met anyone who is from that same area where my ancestors were from. You know, they were more from, I met a couple from Zagreb. But I like to sort of, when I hear somebody who has one of those names, you know, I'll say, you know, "Are you from that area?" And it's always a pleasure for me to, you know, hear like where they're from. I feel like I have this, I don't know, it's not a place a lot of people have been to that I know. So, and I, you know, I would like to see them get more tourism, because Croatia, you know, they need the money, and they've got a lot of coastline, so they get, and the people on the coast are getting rich, and the people kind of inland are not really. I'm hoping it trickles down to the rest of them.
Yes, ma'am. Since this was all a genealogical thing, did you go to any resource libraries or anything that would help you find some of your heritage, or was it more of, you know, going to the cemetery and seeing their names?
That's a really good question, and that is a question that a lot of people ask. And I want to tell all of you that if you want to do your family, if you want to know about your family history in Europe, don't go to Europe to do it. There is nothing there for you to see. The records that I needed in actual form are in Zagreb. They're in the National Archives. But you don't need to, because the Mormon Church makes about 1 billion original record images available at familysearch.org. Anybody who wants to do that, just come and talk to me and I'll tell you. So I did all my research here. Don't go to Europe expecting to be given access to any genealogical records. You just won't get anywhere. You go there once you already know what you're looking for, and maybe to just get that ambiance and get the sense of the place. Of course, cemeteries are genealogical records that are on the spot, but you won't get into any records offices. Yes, Beth?
Did you drive anywhere, and what was the traffic like?
Yeah, we did. We rented a car, we drove around Throgear and Split, and it's maniacal. The traffic is crazy, the drivers are crazier. Driving up the coastal road was a little better because there just wasn't as much traffic. It was beautiful, but it's still a little bit, when people do drive past you, it's usually, you know, I don't even think they had a speed limit. I don't know. It was like,
Did we see a roundabout? I thought I saw a roundabout on those
Yeah, I think in... Yeah, in Split and Trogir, roundabouts are ubiquitous in Europe, and I think they have in the big city areas. Yeah, yeah. So I didn't drive, and I don't. They do drive on the same side we do, and with the wheel on the same side. So it would have been a little easier, but it was the drivers were very, very, very aggressive in the area where we were, and I was glad I wasn't behind the wheel. They should have been glad I wasn't.
Do you regret not having engaged an English speaker?
Yes.
Yeah.
If I had known what I know when I learned, you know, then that I wouldn't find any English-speaking people up in the very part of the country I most wanted to communicate with people. I did find one person in the Jablonec tourist office, a young man who was a college student who could speak not even that great English, but he helped me out a little bit. He was the one who explained about the, you know, that there's this, you got to go up this mountain road, and so I was very grateful. But I should have hired somebody. Found somebody local to help me talk to those people, because, you know, I'm standing there in Cesarica with this barrier of language, and I would have loved to speak to those people and say, I couldn't convey to them why I was there. They thought I was nuts. You know, well, I wasn't wearing my Darth Vader hat, but still, you know, they don't see very many American tourists, certainly, and I'm animatedly trying to explain, and my friend is like, so it was like we should have hired somebody. It would have been the best like $100 I would have spent to just get a person who was bilingual to help me out just for a day. So hindsight.
What's the exchange rate like?
It's actually pretty good. Yeah, the cost of being a tourist in Croatia is really reasonable, much less than in like Italy and France, probably. I don't. That's not a reason to go there, but you know, it's not. It's never cheap to travel in Europe, but it's really reasonable.
They use euros.
Yes, they do, and they also use Croatian money. The street peddlers, the people selling the scarves and stuff, will take both, and they told me that they would also take dollars. If I ran out of the. Because I was running out, and I said, I need to exchange some money, and I want to go buy a scarf for somebody. And my friend said, oh, no, they'll take dollars. They'll take anything. But I think, for the most part, you know, I think they're phasing out the Croatian money. Yeah.
Are they part of the European Union?
No. Croatia became part of the European Union when I was there. That was my second or third day there was like, the day, and really, you know, crickets. I don't think anybody really even seemed to care. You know, there were no parties, there was no celebrating. It was strange. I thought it would be a big deal. You know, I was thinking that, oh, maybe it wasn't the best time to go because there will be a. But there was nothing. I asked a young man in Gospic at the cafe where the coffee cup was that big, and I asked him, did he support that? And you know, he was like, oh, you know, what does it matter whether I support it or not? You know, it's happening, there it is. And sort of a fatalistic attitude about it. I don't know. I thought they'd be happier. I don't know. I don't understand Croatians. I'm just, you know, 20% of my people.
What month did you go? I missed. I came in late. Did you just go this summer?
I just went last summer. Not this. How was the weather? The weather was absolutely gorgeous. It was perfect. It was like 70 degrees and sunny all the time. It never rained. The sun never felt too hot, except for maybe when you're out on the water. I mean, you just can't. It was postcard. That's kind of a mixed image, but it was, you know, postcard perfect weather. Just crisp, clear views for miles and miles and miles. You could really see why it's been a popular, you know, vacation spot since the Romans, actually. I don't even know if, you know, who used to live there originally, but, you know, the Romans kind of colonized that whole Dalmatian coast. So, yeah, go there for the weather, go there for the exchange rate. I wouldn't necessarily encourage anyone to go to that northern part where I was. There's really not a lot there. It's the poorest part of the country apart from the eastern end of the Boomerang. But if you go up a little farther north on the Istrian Peninsula, that's actually supposed to be quite beautiful and have some really interesting cultural things and beaches and stuff. All right, you're full of Croatia. So, or, no, let's say it again, Hrvatska.
Hrvatska.
Okay, thanks.